How do people have a baby?
What's gay?
Out of your Bible.
What is a period?
What is transgender?
What is a condom?
What is a sperm?
What is poop? I can't say it. What is puberty?
What would it be like to be a boy?
But would a boy want to know what it's like to be a girl?
What is that?
What is sex?
Hello and welcome to What is Sex? Each episode, we discuss one anonymous question we've been asked by a kid while teaching sex ed. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Izzy. And we're two of the co-founders of Yes, a nonprofit that provides sex-positive, intersectional, consent-based sexuality education to people of all ages.
We believe it's never too early to start having these conversations. To learn more about us, you can check out our website, yes2consent.org, or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at yes2consent.
Rebecca just did that from memory. You got every word.
Hell yeah!
That was really good. I'll have to try next time.
Thank you. Yeah. This is our new segment called Unnecessary Challenges.
Speaking of challenges, do you know what I learned in the last 2 weeks? I'm really proud. What? I am notoriously terrible at geography. Everybody will tell you. And it's like a mental block I've had since I was little that I'm just like can't learn directions and I can't learn where the states are. And I just like never learned geography in school and I can't do it. But in the last 2 weeks, I have learned where every single state is, not just putting them on the map, but putting them on the map with no state outlines. Like, I can just have an outline of the U.S. and I can click anywhere and get the state. Like, it says, like, Nebraska, and I can, like, click it without any context.
Wait. How did you hone this skill?
Sporkle. I went back to the old Sporkle. And I learned every country in the world. I'm
what?
Really proud. Yeah.
What? How many countries are there?
197.
Oh, that's less than I thought.
Well, I know them all. I'm so proud.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow, everyone's learning a new skill these days.
I mean, this one isn't like a marketable skill by any means, but it does feel really good to just know more about my world.
If you finagled a little bit, you could probably win some money on like a second grade trivia show.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's still on. Yeah, exactly.
Do the adults get money, though, if they outdo the fifth graders?
I think so.
Yeah, as it should be. Beat those kids.
Okay, I'll try to get on that show.
Beat those kids, Izzy. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What? Oh, you know what? I didn't really learn it. I learned it. I started using UV resin for my earrings so I could do some shiny bits.
Glow in the dark?
Not yet. All right.
Okay.
Don't pressure me.
I don't know what UV means.
Oh, shiny. So it's resin that's cured by UV light. So there's a two-part epoxy resin where it's like basically like making cement. So like it's not a dry part and a wet part, but whatever, a two-parter that you just like let cure over time. And then there's a UV one, which I just got. Wildly expensive, and you just sit it under a UV light. So I got a little light that you use for like gel manicure nails, and it'll harden it in like 20 minutes.
That's and like, I've been do staring.
Oh, I didn't finish. So what I learned is that I've just been staring at this UV light for like an hour. And Rachel said, "You're not supposed to stare at UV light. It ruins your eyes." And I said, no. "But isn't it like sunlight? Like, I thought it would cure my depression." And she said, "That is not correct." And that is what I learned today.
Oh, cool. Different congratulations.
Light. Different light. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That reminds me of, do you remember those like black light journals as a kid where you like wrote in purple or whatever, or like you wrote in black and then you put the black light and it turned purple and you could like, it was like a secret message. Did you have,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I had one of those. That was cool.
What does that have to do with what I'm saying?
You have UV light. That's what makes the message appear. You could write on your earrings with one of those markers, and only when it's under a UV light, you would see the secret message.
Oh.
Could send codes.
Is that what a black light is? No. Is it?
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
You remember That's those journals enough. That you wrote on with semen, and then you shine a black light on them?
You never wrote
you had that
semen.
When you were 12, right?
That would probably work though, right?
I mean,
semen shows up under a black light,
right?
According
that's what
to
I'm
the
saying.
Office, right?
I just don't know. I just don't know what lights what light. You know?
Yeah, me either. Okay, this has gone on too long. I'm sorry. I derailed us.
That's fine.
I was just trying to be excited about your UV light, and I just went off in a whole other direction.
Great. This whole episode's going to go off in different directions. This whole episode is a derailment, so.
That's true. We're doing a fun new thing, everybody, because, you know, Thanksgiving just happened, and we're
and
a little
all
over the place.
None of you submitted questions, so.
Yeah. Do we ask them to? I don't know. But, yeah, please do submit questions. But, yeah, Rebecca had this fun idea for this episode. Do you want to tell them?
Whenever you prompt me to ask a question, that's my question. I feel like your student. You're like, Rebecca had an idea, class. Yes. Yeah, so the other day I was walking with my roommate and I said something about my body that I had never shared with anybody. And she immediately said, yes, I didn't know that happened to other people. And I had the idea that we should discuss on this podcast. Does your body also do this? And I forget what catchy name you came up with for the episode, but it'll be titled it.
No, I think it should be titled what you just said. Does your body also do this? That's exactly right.
Does your body also do this? Yes. So should we start with the one that initiated? Are we going to try to on the spot come up with a structure for this episode?
Well, if we were going to do our regular structure, I would say that the question behind this question is very clearly, am I normal? Like, this is the most typical am I normal question. And there's so many there's major categories of anonymous questions you get from kids in sex ed, and a huge percentage of the questions you get from kids are am I normal questions. And so we're basically just going to like throw out a bunch of am I normal questions at each other and see if we're normal. But yeah, I guess I when I was thinking about this, I thought about ones from when I was little that I wondered about that I now know are normal, but like was really concerned about at the time, and ones from now.
Oh,
so
my.
I don't know. Do you want to?
I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, I can start. That's interesting. I didn't think about any that I thought of as a kid. I think because the ones that I have now are the same ones from when I was young. And I guess I know that they're normal. Like, just knowing that if what was happening to me wasn't normal, there would be a problem. And knowing that there's really no problem. I know they're normal, but I want to know how normal.
Yeah, well, actually, that's something I learned in sex ed school, is that normal has many definitions that we just use this one word, but normal can mean average, like common, but normal can also mean like me. Like, I think it's normal because it's like me. It can also mean like morally good or appropriate. So like we know it's normal, like it's fine, it's good. Like, there's nothing bad about it, but we don't know if it's normal, like common.
Average.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well. So... the question that prompted this episode is, do your labia also stick to your underwear and cause you pain?
No.
Ugh.
Sorry.
That's
no,
okay.
No, but my labia do all sorts of stuff that I have other questions about my labia. Like, what?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens to me is like,
yeah.
What happens to me is it doesn't happen that often. And I don't know if it happens more maybe when I'm less wet, like when there's less moisture. But it's sort of like there's a bit of moisture, and then because there's no moisture on my underwear, it like fuses and glues my labia to the
Ouch.
Cotton of my underpants. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm walking, I can feel them tugging on my underwear.
That sounds so uncomfortable.
It is really uncomfortable. And it's maybe we should have had this as like the buildup, because it emotionally feels really important to me. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't have made for good airtime necessarily, but it's something that I never shared with anyone because I'm incredibly embarrassed about the way that my vulva have been, or I perceive them as being like longer or more visible than other people's. Yeah, so I never want any conversation to lead people into understanding like what my labia look like.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that exact same way. I think my labia stick to each other.
And that
I like don't know. I always felt like, is that normal? And I feel like it's changed also as my body's gotten larger. So I feel like shame about that too. Like I'm too big. My labia are too big. And that's why they're always like touching each other. So it's not painful and it doesn't stick to my underwear, but it does like rub, my labia will rub against each other.
Mm. I don't feel that, but it definitely happens. And I'm only really ever made aware of it when someone's trying to finger me and they have to like spread my labia apart and or like fuck me or whatever. And I'm always mortified. It always takes me out of it immediately that someone has to maneuver my vulva.
But I think that's totally normal. This is like a game show. Totally normal. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Survey says. Average.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I really do. I think it's really normal. But labia really, I just like, yeah, I wish we talked about labia more and all the shapes and sizes of labia and colors.
I do too. I also think that labia should, we need to come up with some fun slang for labia.
That's true. Besides lips. I mean, lips is confusing because we already have lips.
Lips is confusing, right? And then you have to say inner lips, outer lips, labia minora, majora. So it's like, I feel like so last ep, I think I referred to my labia as labe. And definitely. I think that's like a real cool way of I feel fully like it only implies your inner lips.
Okay. Cool.
You feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you call your outer lips?
Because
we're definitely not going to say the...
My tufts. I don't know. My puffy canoe. I don't know.
I was thinking like wings, my butterfly wings. That's too cute.
That's too cute. My oars.
Do they row? Yeah. Huh.
That's okay. I'll think more about that. Yeah. My outer. My seat covers. I don't know. It's getting worse.
Okay.
Can we stay on the topic of, labe? Like what are your,
well,
what
this
are your
is different.
Yeah.
This is a vulva thing, but not a labia thing. Okay. When I was thinking about one of the first questions I had about, like, does your body do this too when I was a kid is I remember learning somehow that boys at the time is my conception, but like, you know, assigned male at birth people have a bulge in their underwear. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror in my underwear and being like, I think I have a bulge. And it was my mom's pubis or pubic mound. But I didn't know about pubic mounds. No one told me about mounds. So I was like, it's not flat. It's like it's round. So yeah. I was like, I think I'm intersex. And I was so confused about it. But I also like knew I couldn't. I was like, I can't talk to anybody about this. But I was convinced that like I'd had some surgery when I was born and that I like didn't fully know what was going on. And I wasn't like really a girl or like whatever.
When because did you I was have just, like, this? Yeah.
In when like did elementary you school.
Okay. And how long did it last?
Years. I don't know when I first learned about a pubic mound, probably in high school. And so I was just like always like looking at it, trying to like flatten it in the same way that I would like suck in my stomach. Cause I thought that was supposed to be flat too, which was another whole question. I was like, why is my stomach round? I remember the first time somebody was like, cause there's vital organs in there and you needed to protect them. I was like, oh, but yeah, I just thought my pubic mound was something that I wasn't supposed to have.
That is such an intense, speculation about your body to have kept with you for years.
Yeah. No, I never spoke it aloud until I think I told someone for the first time this year, actually in a very similar conversation. One of my friends said to me that as a kid, she really thought she might be intersex. She just like didn't really know what that meant. And I think for her, it was because of how much body hair she had, maybe. But like someone had mentioned being intersex and she was like, oh, is that me? And I was like, oh, I always wondered if I was intersex as a kid. And that was the first time I think I ever talked about it, just because somebody else brought it up because it was so far in the past. But yeah. I was really worried about it and like worried about what that meant about my past and what had been done to me, what body parts I didn't have, and just didn't feel able to talk about it at all.
I had the same insecurity and I didn't think anything about like having had surgery or anything like that. But I used to grab my stomach from like the bottom and the top and just like wish it to be gone and like hold it really tight. I remember doing that to my pubic mound. Also, I don't think I've ever heard the word pubic mound.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners.
It's very like recess yeah. to me. Like
like meeting on the mound.
Meeting on the mound. And I still have insecurities about it, for sure. Like when I gain weight, that is one of the parts of my body that still draws attention and like
your attention
in my own mind. Right. Yeah. In my own attention. Yeah. And I remember the first time I saw a model, like a very thin model with a pronounced pubic mound featured somewhere. I remember thinking like, oh, wow, like skinny people can have this too. It's not just because I think I'm gaining weight or like I weigh more than I should or whatever. Yeah, that was, I don't know that it was comforting, but it was a moment of realization.
I just love that episode of Big Mouth where Missy talks about her Mons pubis a bunch. She's like, I'm a Mons pusher, you know, because she's like, pushing her Mons into Andrew while they make
can
out.
Can you do her voice again?
No, I think you can. You can do it, right? I've heard.
If I heard it, I could probably do it, but I'm not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't do it. I give up. No, it's. I mean, but I just appreciated the word Mons being on a TV show. I was like, this is good.
I love that show.
It's a great show.
Okay, so, but you did say earlier that you had some questions about your labia. We can move on. We can move on if you have a question you want to talk about.
Well, I think my labia questions are just like, is my labia normal? Like, I think my labia, I just feel weird about my vulva often because I've looked at it so infrequently. It's so hard to look at it. I'm just like, who the hell knows what's going on there? Like, anytime I'm like, even at the doctor, I'm like, I want to be like, can you just confirm that this is what's supposed to be going on? Because I feel really unsure.
Huh. I mean, have you seen other people's vulvas?
Yeah, I have. Mostly not live, except for I've seen a lot of children's vulvas because I've changed a lot of diapers, but those look very different.
Right. Yeah. I'm like pretty well acquainted with mine, actually.
I
think I might have already brought this up, but I recently asked my mom if she had looked at her vulva. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about different like derogatory words for vulvas. Mm-hmm. And she told me she hadn't ever.
Yeah. I still have only, I haven't done it as frequently. I always am like, I want to get into like a daily practice of looking at my vulva. And then I always forget. But this is a good reminder. Maybe tonight. I have a little hand mirror. So... Can do it.
You have a huge mirror in your living room.
That's true, but usually I have a roommate, but my roommate is gone, so this is a perfect time to just get naked in my living room and look at my vulva.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll report back on the next episode. I wanted to comment on what you were saying about like weight and associating your Mons pubis with like weight gain, because I think a lot of my explanation for my early questions about my body were just like, oh, it must mean I'm fat. That was like my fifth sixth grade girl brain of like, that's like the main thing people have said could be wrong with a girl's body at that point, right? Like it's all focus on thinness and fatness. So I definitely felt a little bit worried about my mom's pubis being fat. And also another thing that was one of the earliest feelings I had that I wasn't normal, that my body wasn't normal, was about my hips, because I was, my hips were developing, they were growing, I was going through puberty, but I never knew that hip growth was part of puberty. So I just thought, this is me getting fat. And then also I had like dents under my hips. I think there's a name for this that people talk about, but like my, do you know what I'm saying? It's like some people's bodies do this and some don't. They're just like below your hips. Like there's like what I thought of as dents. I still think of them as dents. Obviously they're not, like no one like crashed into me and made a dent, but like it goes in a lot. And then goes out again for my thighs. Yes. You know?
Do you mean your silhouette goes in?
Do I mean my silhouette goes in? I mean my legs go in. Yeah. Yeah. Like the sides of me. There's like round hips and then goes in and then back out for my thighs. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's not everybody's body, but some people's bodies do that. But.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but at the time I didn't know that. I was just like, I really thought I had made that dent by wearing jeans that were too tight. I like thought I thought I had like damaged my legs and like made this weird shape.
I could talk for days about wearing jeans that are too tight.
Right. Right. And so, and because, well, it was, there's so many pieces of this that my jeans didn't fit over my hips anymore because, and also super low rise jeans were the thing at the time. So I was wearing my jeans below my hips. So they were like, I thought they were making this dent and then my hips would stick way out over my jeans, which I thought I meant I was just fat. So I just started wearing giant sweatshirts every day for 5 years. Like I literally didn't go to school without a sweatshirt from 7th grade through 10th grade. And it was all because, yeah, I thought that hips meant fat and I thought that my dents were some like weird deformity I had caused with my jeans.
Listening back to this episode, I realized that when I was talking about my hips, in middle school, it sounds like I am saying, there's something wrong with being fat. And I just want to clarify very explicitly that I do not feel that way. At the time, I mistook my developing hips for fatness, and I did at the time feel very afraid of being fat. But I have since learned to interrogate that fat phobia, and I know that there is nothing wrong with being fat. So I just wanted to make sure that that was in this podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if every kid who is not like comfortable with their weight went through a sweatshirt phase. Mm. I remember so vividly being at summer camp, like middle of August, having to like boiling, wearing long jeans because my legs were too hairy, and sweatshirts.
Yeah, I wore jeans in the ocean. I was like, I don't want to wear a bathing suit.
Me too.
Yeah, my mom would try to hide my sweatshirt in the summers because she was like, you're going to pass out. This isn't safe.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the, actually,
I remember losing.
Go ahead. What? There you go.
No, I was just going to say, I remember losing a sweatshirt that meant so much to me. Mm. Felt like a piece of me was missing.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that the first sweatshirt I wore, started wearing every day before it was about my hip issues, was earlier. I started wearing an unzipped sweatshirt because I was self-conscious about my arms because here's another thing I wrote down. That was another one of my am I normal questions, because my arm skin is not smooth. It's bumpy. And I now know dermatologists tell me literally every single time they see me that I have keratosis, which sounds like a fatal disease, but it's actually just goosebumps that don't go away. It's like, it's not.
To me, it just sounded like you ate too many carrots.
That's funny. Yeah, it just has no significance at all. It's not a health problem. It's literally just like, you have goosebumps all the time. And every single time I go to the dermatologist, they're like, can I do something for you about this keratosis? I'm like, first of all, it's not important. Second of all, you have tried every single thing. Like between all the dermatologists in the world and my middle school, high school self, I have put every cream, every steroid, whatever. It's like, I have goosebumps. It's not going away. But in sixth grade, I just was so, it might've been the first time a dermatologist pointed it out to me. I don't remember, but I was just so embarrassed about the bumps on my arms. And so I started wearing sleeves all the time. And so that is a question I have for you. Do you have parts of your skin that aren't smooth, Rebecca?
I was just going to talk about this. This is my other one too.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I recently developed like really bumpy skin right under like where your butt crease is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's pimples. Like it, yeah, it's just bumpy. It's
I have
not
bumps
smooth.
On my butt
and I'm
too.
So self-conscious about
yeah.
it. Like incredibly. And I used to love my ass too. Mm. Like I used to show it off.
Yeah.
And now I don't want anyone to touch it. I like, oh, I'm freaking out.
I'm so
it's
glad
like the same thing
about
having
this.
To spread my vulva. I'm just like, oh God, they're going to realize I'm a gremlin.
Yeah. Yeah. But it feels really embarrassing.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I know.
I've had moments recently where someone will be like, your skin is so smooth.
Mm.
And then it just like strikes fear in me. Like, like they're fucking, what's this mind game nonsense bullshit?
I've had that
bullshit.
Exact feeling. I was thinking about that. Bless you.
Thank you.
Or as they say to the children,
yeah, no,
what a
absolutely.
Sneeze.
My dad would say, gazoon.
My dad would say, gazuntite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we both have Jewish dads.
Classique.
Jerry Seinfeld would say,
yeah,
you're so good looking.
What?
You haven't seen that episode of Seinfeld?
Give me a quick summary.
Elaine's friend sneezes a lot and George said, bless you. And her husband got really mad because he took the bless you and it should be the husband's role. But the husband had hesitated. So George thought he passed on the bless you. And Elaine and Jerry are discussing this bless you controversy. And Elaine says, why do we even say God bless you when someone sneezes? That doesn't make me feel better. If you really want to make someone feel better when they sneeze, you should say, you're so good looking. And so that's what she and Jerry start saying.
Oh, that's, I'm going to start saying that.
Please do.
This is great. I've got eat my snatch. I've got you're so good looking. And I've got Labe. And I'm just the coolest lady who doesn't leave the house.
Good publisher.
All right, so. Oh, that's a good project. I'll add that to the list of things I'll never do. Mm-hmm. So on the topic of asses, I brought this up before, but I didn't know that people had asshole hair.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And boy, that was good to find out. But that was like a real panic of me being going through puberty.
That makes sense.
I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to get rid of this now?
And did you try?
Yeah.
I've never tried.
Oh. All right.
It seems hard. Seems hard to get rid of that hair.
It's so hard. I think that I've given myself like, gosh, what are they called? I think I've like given myself a hemorrhoid trying to do it.
I'm sure. How could you not? I just, yeah. That was a part. I really appreciated that moment so in hard. Shrill. You watched Shrill. You know that I part when Shrill. She's talking to the strippers at the club that she's reviewing their Chinese buffet, and she was like, how do you wear a thong without getting poop on it? I was like, what is happening? People are talking. Like, I was really just like, whoa, TV is really going deep right now. And they were like, you have to shave your butthole, because they were like, you know, if you spill a milkshake on a grassy lawn, you are not cleaning that up. But if you spill it on a marble countertop, like, it comes right off. I was like, this is really interesting. It did not make also, me want to remove the hair, though.
Oh, no. I really love getting rid of it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't even have this question, but the answer was revealed to me recently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I didn't think about it, but I didn't realize that when you are bent over getting fucked from behind, someone can just look right into your asshole.
Oh yeah.
It just never occurred to me.
It's occurred to me.
And that also struck panic in me. That's all of my butt related curiosity. Do you have anything else topical?
I have a vagina one.
Hell yeah. What's next?
Discharge. I just like, I know now, but again, one of my earliest memories as a kid was just like, one of my earliest memories of having a question like this was just like, what is supposed to come out of my vagina? What is not supposed to come out of my vagina? Why is my underwear always wet? It's just always wet. And
because you're just ready to get it.
Well, I just felt like this is no different from peeing in my underwear. Like this is so embarrassing. Like I was just like, it's like constantly in a state of like leaking or something. And some of it was so gooey and slimy. And I was like, what is this?
That stuff is fun.
I just couldn't imagine that could be happening to anybody else and like couldn't figure out
I think I always knew that it was normal, but I think maybe along the same line, like I thought that it was too much.
Mm. Yeah.
I remember my mom having a talk with me pretty early on, not on purpose, but something about like, yeah, it's you're like, there's some shit in your underwear. It's normal.
That's nice.
It was nice. And I think that's another thing that like, I don't really remember being, like feeling super strange about, but I still now am embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
Like not typically. And when I'm alone, I really like it. Uh-huh. Like all the things that excrete from my orifices, I just like them.
That's nice.
But when I'm like having sex with someone or someone goes to take off my underwear, I'm like pretty upset by them having to see it.
I just don't want anyone to ever see my underwear is how I feel. Like all my underwear has little stains and little like between periods and discharge. It's just like they're all off color and kind of damp all the time. And
all the sharding.
Yeah. Sure. That too. I just I'm like, this is just for me. No one ever needs to see this. So I guess that's a little bit of shame still I have about discharge.
Yeah.
I was just thinking because I have all this underwear that has like a, like the crotch on the inside is white. Like the underwear isn't white, but the crotch on the, I'm like, if I have dark gray underwear, it should be dark gray all the way through. The crotch is the part that needs to be the darkest. Like, why do I want that part to be white? It's not going to stay white.
Oh, you mean it's made white. You don't mean your body has turned it.
No,
white.
But that happens too sometimes on dark underwear. But it's like, it's like it's a color, but then just the crotch is white.
Yeah, what the fuck
Why
is that
shit? Why do they
do
that?
That's definitely man-made.
Yeah, for sure.
Dumb.
So dumb.
Wow, that's a really great point. Let's bring that up. Let's scream that loudly. Never, ever make the crotch of my underwear a lighter color than the rest. You absolute sadists.
And you
Ridiculous.
Know what? The first time I ever heard
I've never been more upset.
I'm so glad.
What?
The first time I ever heard anyone talk about that in media was when I saw Obvious Child for the first time with Jenny Slate. I know you didn't love that movie.
I loved that
movie.
Oh,
really?
Oh, no. Sorry, no. I didn't love
it. Yeah,
that.
I didn't think
Keep
so.
Going.
I love that movie.
But I loved her stand-up special. Anyway,
oh, cool.
Everyone.
Yeah, I love her. But she, and like the first two.
Yeah, I love her. She's good. She's good.
In the first 2 minutes of that movie, she's just like, no one with a vagina can wear a pair of underwear and not have it end up looking like it like dive bombed and like crawled out of a tub of cream cheese. And I was just like, whoa, no one has ever said anything like that to me before. That was my like, oh, it's not just me moment. It's like Jenny yes. Slate said it on a movie.
on a movie. I saw Jenny Slate said it on a movie. Yeah. Oh man, speaking of people of the people, Jenny is a real lady of the ladies, I'll tell you that much.
I just, you know,
we'll cut that part out.
I'm just
saying she's relatable.
She's so relatable. I mean, for a Jewish woman, like, I can't think of anyone more relatable to me as a white Jewish woman who's like been in a movie. Like, people who, I don't know,
she's famous.
She has hair like mine when I had hair, like, I just, I appreciate her.
Frizzy, messy, nasal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love
anxious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like her.
It would be nice if like the knowledge of these things being normal made you feel better about them.
Yeah. It does help. It helps. It's just, it happened so late. We needed it earlier. I need somebody to say that about cream cheese when I was like 11.
I need a whole semester in high school of people being like, bodies will do these things.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it.
Exactly. Another one of the things like that is that I just never wanted to use tampons as a young person. I still don't. I don't like tampons. I never liked them. Never wanted to use one. When I was a young person, I was like,
But what about the high tech plastic applicators that pinch the inside of your vagina? Yeah. You don't like those?
I don't like those. As a young person, I was just like, I'm not putting something in my vagina. Like, that's just not happening. I don't want to do that. And then as an older person,
you're saving yourself. I said you're saving yourself.
Yeah. Well, so right. No, I was just like, I don't want to touch my vagina. I don't know. I was just like, that sounds uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to do that. But I always felt very ashamed that I didn't use tampons as a young person. And I would like always say, like, does anyone have a tampon or a pad? Even though I only wanted a pad. Or like, you know what I mean? I like never felt comfortable being like, I only use pads. And then my violin teacher, bless her for many reasons, took me to see the Vagina Monologues when I was 18. Randomly, like, I don't know what gave her that idea, but it was really transformative. I know the Vagina Monologues have their issues, but in the Vagina Monologues, some of
you don't know what gave her that idea, Izzy. You don't think she perceived the everything about you?
Maybe she
like,
did. Yeah,
Izzy could use.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. She's very perceptive and wonderful. But someone in the Vagina Monologues was like, I don't want to put a dry wad of fucking cotton up my vagina. I don't want to. I was like, oh, I can say that. I was like, I don't want to, but I can never tell anybody I don't want to because women are supposed to want to. Like, women are supposed to like tampons. They're supposed to be liberating. You can swim in them. And I was suddenly like, oh, this is not just...
Yeah, all the swimming we weren't doing, right, exactly, in our jeans and our sweatshirts.
Yeah, because I thought...
So
like,
liberated.
I thought I just have to use tampons one day and I'm just really late to the party. But on that day, I was like, oh, I never have to do this. I never have to. She said, this person in this play said she doesn't want to use them and she's an adult, so I don't want to use them and I'm never using them. And I haven't.
Good for you.
Thank you.
honestly, fuck tampons.
Yeah.
The absolute worst. Especially those cardboard applicators. I don't know why they think that they need to stick some cotton out of the top of them, like a little cotton tail, like a little bunny rabbit Bilbo Baggins bullshit at the top. I don't really get it, but it's like not what you want to be lubricating that stick into your puss. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would rather it be hard cardboard first.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't like any of it. I don't like it.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Yeah. The first time that I had washable pad instead that my friend had made and they used like a really soft fabric, I was like, ooh, this is fun.
Wow. How do you do that? What's it filled with?
I don't know what she put in there. She put layers. It has inserts. So it's like a pad that snaps on that has like spaces for like these really soft, fuzzy things. And you like take one out and put it in the washing machine, put another one in. I don't know. Amazing. Yeah, she made. I knew someone in college who made those. I was like, this is nice. I tried one. Yeah.
Damn, why are we wasting our time knitting scarves when we could be making reusable pads?
I know. It was so. She made some pretty ones. And then the sponges. I've never tried the sponge, but that seems fun, too. The sea sponge, you know?
What?
Yeah, you can use a sea sponge instead of a tampon.
Wait, you put it inside yourself?
You put it inside yourself.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, they're soft.
Oh my God.
Natural materials.
And then you can just rinse it?
You can rinse it. I mean, they don't last forever. You know, they're not silicone. They do degrade, but yeah, you can use it a bunch of times.
That's great. I mean, I love my Diva Cup, but I've been having some issues with it recently.
Yeah, Diva Cups are also great. There's a lot of great options, and I thought I just had to use a tampon. So sad.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you use a menstrual cup?
I don't. But I would like
to. Okay, so this is something that I'm not sure is normal or not.
Okay.
I'm convinced, and it sounds sound, I'm convinced that when I have in my menstrual cup, it presses against my urethra or whatever.
Yeah.
That's urethra, right? Mm-hmm. And makes it really hard to pee.
Interesting.
Like, peeing takes exceedingly long. And the stream is very small.
Mm. That sounds possible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've said it to a few people and they're like, you're making that up.
Well, it definitely seems possible that it could be like touching your urethra. Well, no, actually, wait, let me think about that. No, that doesn't make sense. If it's in your vagina. Oh, it could be pressing. It's not touching it, but pressing like through the skin.
No. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Compressing the tube that brings your urine.
I can imagine that.
Thank you.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. And then also another thing that I sometimes experience, not that much, but when I do, it freaks me out, is sometimes I just feel like my pelvic muscles are so tight, I can't pee. So maybe just like with a period, with a menstrual cup in there, there's like so much going on that it's like kind of tightened up holding the menstrual cup in. I mean, it doesn't need to be, but I don't know. Because sometimes just once in a while, I'll just be like, I know I have to pee. I cannot relax my muscles enough to let it out.
Mm.
Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, that does happen sometimes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, sometimes.
Does your body do that?
Does your body to do this also? Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that my menstrual cup does that I'm not sure happen to other people. Mm. Sometimes it feels like it is suctioning so firmly against my cervix that it's like pulling it.
Mm.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's meant to do that, right?
And it hurts. It's
supposed to have good suction. It hurts.
Feels so crampy, yeah.
So do you have more questions?
No. Oh, yeah, questions? Yeah, I do have one question left.
Okay, what?
Are you done?
No, I have more.
Okay. I get like my nipples will excrete stuff sometimes that then scabs up. Not from the hole but from around the nipple on my areola.
Interesting.
Like right near the nipple.
That reminds me, because that hasn't happened to me, but that reminds me that I have bumps on my areolas.
Oh yeah.
That my whole life I've wondered, as a kid I'd be like, is this cancer? I have breast cancer. And now I don't think that, but I am like, is this weird? Will someone think this is weird? There's so many, they're like really pronounced sometimes bumps
me
around
too.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you've brought that up, because that's like so deeply buried in my psyche of worry that I like forgot to even put it on the list.
Oh my God. The amount of insecurities I have that are just related to my nipples and my breasts are endless.
That's true too. Yeah, when I was in eating disorder treatment, some of the other people in treatment were talking about how because of all the weight loss and weight gain in all of our lives, they're like, I have such saggy breasts. Like the minute I can afford it, I'm going to get a boob job. And I was like, oh, I have not thought about this that much. And suddenly I was like, oh no, a new self-conscious. You know that feeling when someone points something out to you that you just like weren't self-conscious about before and then you just can never go away. That happened to me also with my eyelashes in college. Somebody was curling her eyelashes, getting ready for a dance. I have never curled my eyelashes, nor had any desire to. And she was like, oh, see, Izzy, your eyelashes are like mine. We have to curl them because they go straight down. And suddenly I realized, and now every time I look in the mirror, it's all I see. I'm just like, my eyelashes go straight down. She was like, look at that person's eyelashes. They go naturally up. Like, she doesn't need to curl them, but like, we need to because they go like down. And now I think I have the weirdest eyelashes. I was like, this never had to be in my consciousness, and now here it is. Thank you.
It's okay, because sweat and rain will run right off them.
Great.
Yeah, you've just surpassed her. Or whoever has those curly boys. Whoever's collecting rain, you've surpassed them.
Great. Well, you know, my breast sag was like that.
But sometimes, because my breasts are so large, and they like touch my right, like they fold. Oh, yeah. They fold over.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah.
smell weird.
Side. Yeah, yeah. All the creases. Actually, that's kind of another one on my list. Is just like I was thinking about chub rub, which I really don't like that as a phrase because it's really just chafing and it's not necessary. I mean, obviously, like the larger our bodies are, maybe the more spots there are like that. But people's thighs touch who are not fat. But there's just so many different potential places for like chafing or like dampness to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many creases in my body. Yeah. But under my breasts is definitely one, and the sides a little bit, like below my belly, between my thighs, like that spot between like pubic mound and thigh, you know, like there's just so many spots that I'm like, is this normal that they touch? Like, is there something kind of like, yeah, is it going to smell? Is there something damp in there? Is it going to chafe and hurt? Chafing sucks so much.
Oh God.
Yeah, I feel like that's something. I mean, I know like people are talking about chub rub a lot now, and I love the band Chub Rub, by the way, plug for them. But yeah, I just feel like
sponsor us.
Yeah, any place where skin touches skin, I'm like self-conscious about.
Yeah. All right, that was my last question. The crusty nipples. What?
I have one more thing to talk about.
Yeah.
That I just think, I mean, I know this is normal, but I just want to say something about it. I just think we need to talk about farting for a second.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
I just, first of all, I still cringe when I say the word fart. That's how infrequently I've said it in my lifetime. Like, so infrequently. Because I, like every other, you know, little girl, was told you're not supposed to talk about farting. And so I just never have. And as a kid, I was so worried about farting at the wrong time or like being heard and people laughing at me. It was such a constant fear, like when performing or in class or like whatever. It was just like terror about farting. And it's just like, why have we created this torment out of something that just everybody has to do? And as a preschool teacher, I've thought about it a lot because there's a lot of teachers who will be like, it's farts are not funny. Don't laugh about farts. I'm like, oh God, please laugh about farts. Don't turn into me. Like, don't be scared of farts. Like all of the adults around you, just like keep thinking they're funny. Some teachers would be like, please leave the room to fart. That's so rude. Or like, go into the bathroom to fart. And the kids would be like, okay. I'd be like, what? What? And people would be like, say, excuse me. I'm like, no, stop. Stop with any of this. Just fart and move on. Let's not talk about it. Let's not like make it a big conversation. I don't want to say, excuse me. I just want everyone to let the gas out of their bodies that needs to get out and just keep on going with our lives. I
got called out recently for a fart, and it was mortifying.
It is so mortifying.
And I denied it. Deny, deny, deny.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I was basically like in a group of people I hardly knew. And the person who knew me best was like, bro, did you just fart right now? And I was like, no. And if I did, I would admit it. Like, that's, you know, it's like your scripted response. Like, I'm so chill. And you know that. And because I'm so chill, if I farted, I'd just be like, I farted. But I didn't. I was like, never. Yeah. You're dead to me now.
It's so scary. It's so scary that you could fart at the wrong time. I can't even believe I've said fart this many. Honestly, I think I've said fart more times in the last 2 minutes than I have in my entire life.
Really? The word gets you?
Yeah, it does.
Interesting. Well, tonight you're going to look in your big mirror. You're going to spread your legs wide open. You're going to chant fart into your vulva, and you're just going.
I'll do it.
Oh, my God. And queefing for another time.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Noises, like bodily noises.
I know. Someone should have told me that, like, oh, if a penis is like penetrating you over and over and shoving air into your body, eventually it's going to come out.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Or a sex let's toy, do better for the children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would like someone to blow air into my vagina. Oh, that sounds like fun. Has anyone ever done that to you?
No.
Like they're blowing up a balloon and just see what happens.
And just see what happens.
And just be like, except
great. You should try that.
Knowing me, it would be like, this.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I need to get someone on board, but okay.
Okay. All right. So, listeners, if you want to ask, does your body do that too? And have a resounding, totally normal come back at you. Please message us at Yes to Consent on Facebook or Instagram, or email contact@yestoconsent.org. And also, we want to do another special episode for our season finale. So this is episode 8 out of 10 of season 2. And for our season finale, we want to do what's that thing on Family Feud? Fast Money. Is that what it's called? A quick round. Speed
I
round.
I think so.
That's what it's called.
Fast and the Furious.
Isn't it called Fast Money at the end of Family Feud?
You might be right, but that sounds absolutely ridiculous to me.
That's funny. It's a ridiculous show. Anyway, we can cut all of that out. But for our season finale, we want to do a speed round of lots of listener questions. We can like put them all in a hat and pick them out and, you know, give our first impressions of your questions from when you were kids, or if you still have questions now. So please, please message us and email us those questions so we can put them on the show, and we will not reveal your name. We promise.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're all done now. Absolutely. On December 9th, just to reiterate, we're hosting a virtual drag show. All of the details can be found on our Facebook or our website. We're going to have a bunch of different drag performers. We're going to have perhaps trivia or scavenger hunt or intermediate activities, the first half of the show, something fun. The first half of the show will be kid friendly, and the second half will be after hours. I really need to get better at like a gremlin voice. Anyway.
Oh, that was good.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, it won't be scary, but it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I invited my family. I invited only 50 people on Facebook because that was my allotted number.
Yeah, what's up, Facebook? Let us invite all our friends.
Yeah, I don't know why they've started capping it. It's really strange.
Very annoying.
I also, because they alphabetize it and I was doing it on my phone, I like only invited the alphabetically first 50 people that made most sense to me. So it's like A through D. The 50 people like I think that will like drag.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And in the meantime, thank you so much to our patrons, all of our patrons, and especially our sex ed sustainers, who are Leonard, Katie Gifford, Molly Waggett, Alexandra Wolkoff, and Susan Abraham. Without you, we couldn't do this. And we really hope that others of you will be inspired to get your name on this podcast and become a patron for as little as $1 a month. It really, really helps us do this work. So thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is hosted by me, Rebecca Klein, and Izzy Abraham Raveson, mixed by Mike Morangello, music by Austin Alfano, artwork by Rebecca Klein and Jackie Soro, and a special thanks to the kids who asked the questions and inspired this podcast.